don't have any Bible verses that directly command Christmas or Easter. These are choices. Most people and families choose, most churches choose. In the Old Testament, God did give holidays. He gave commandments, like we just read. You shall rejoice. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ attended those holidays when he was on earth doing his ministry. We will review the Old Testament holidays, but our purpose is not so much to see how they were celebrated. They'll be in there. But why did God give them? Why did God command the Old Testament Jews to have holidays? What was God's purposes for them? And that will fit our time if we choose so. First, and nobody does this right now, rest. Heavens. Let's look at Exodus 23, please. We have rest in the Christmas banquet, but that was kind of like rest on the inside. This is both actual rest from all that work, and then spiritual peace and rest also. So we're going to look at four reasons God wanted holidays in the Old Testament. The first is rest. Exodus 23, we'll begin at verse 10. You shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the needy of your people may eat. And whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. Right, so far, years. Days, verse 12, 6 days you are to do your work. On the seventh day you shall cease from your labor. It gives a big, long list. And verse 14 mentions weekly holidays in the Old Testament. Three times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. And there they're listed. Verses 15 and 16, and I will review them shortly. Verse 17, three times a year all your men shall appear before me. And then I won't have any trouble finding other verses that say sons and daughters. So it's guys who are strong enough to go to Jerusalem and ladies who are strong enough to go to Jerusalem. Among God's purpose for his holidays was rest. Now, we wonder about the work ethic in other places. Whether people are getting less a sense of the present work ethic, less a sense of obligation, less a desire to work hard, but that is not the problem in our society here. That's not the problem in our church. That's not the problem in our community. We are all serious people. We work as hard as we can and have worked as hard as we can. And that is part of the Bible's teaching. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might. Which we knew this verse when we were kids back in the farm days. Proverbs 6 talks about the ant and getting ready for the winter and gather up all that stuff. And then Proverbs 6:10 makes fun of being lazy. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come like, and it's translated differently, a robber, vagabond, bandit, armed man. The Bible certainly commands hard work. And I think most Americans, particularly in the center of the country, still follow that. They follow it by believing the Bible. They also follow it by parents and grandparents and ancestors. But the Bible also commands time off. The Bible commands not doing it day by day forever. And Americans tend probably to work harder than we do to obey the Old Testament example of having rest. Common in our culture to basically work until we drop. And we have in here a commandment for the Old Testament people to have a time of rest. And of course, it's a weekly rest, one day in seven, but more surprising to us is here in verses 10 and 11, a whole year off? Nobody does that. And I'm not going to suggest that we all do that, but nobody does that in American society. They were supposed to live upon what we always call volunteer crops. A volunteer crop is something you don't plant, but there's enough seeds in the ground that some of it comes up anyway. A cornfield will do this. If it has corn in the previous year, even if you try to plow and cultivate it, sometimes in the middle of the row, it'll come up anyway. And God was saying, every seventh year, just live off from what comes up anyway. And take every seventh year off. Amazing. We're not going to do that, but amazing. My point being is they had more rest than we do. The law of Moses has more rest in it than Americans do. Take every seventh year off. What really surprises me is the 50th year. You'd have the 49th year off and the 50th year off. Now what? It was called the year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25 and 27th year 50, and we're not under the law, so we don't have to do this, but all the land would go back to the families. And basically, other farmers would pay rent for a certain number of years based upon how close we are to the 50th, but then it would all go back, all return. Year 49 and year 50, that's a lot of rest. The year of Jubilee. Not related to our sermon, but that's on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, that verse. Proclaim Jubilee, proclaim freedom in the land. Sometime we can look that up. All I'm saying here is the Bible had more rest in it than we do. Not that we have to do it, but God is in favor of a little bit more than what we often do. One day a week, of course. And the first day of every month was the day of rest. Numbers 28:11. So you have the one day a week and the first day of every month. And then you had all these vacations mentioned here in verses 14, 15, 16, 17. Basically, they were a week off, but not a week of rest. Some of the days were commanded to rest. Other days, they did more exercise than we do. Because we drive everywhere or fly everywhere, and they had to do it the old way. They had to walk everywhere. So if I look at Bible days, they had more rest and they had more exercise than we do. That's just the way it was. If you wanted to go to Jerusalem for a trip, like if they went from Nazareth, it's 65 miles. And anybody who could walk 65 miles, just start early and take as long as it takes and get there. More rest and more exercise. This is not commanded to us, but this is the way God would have for his people in the Old Testament. Lots of time off. More time off than we do. More rest than we do. More exercise than we do. I'll list them. In the spring was Passover, an unleavened bread week. Okay, you're remembering the Exodus and the Passover. In the early summer was Pentecost, and they would have another week off, and Pentecost is basically like Thanksgiving. It's to remember that the winter wheat has grown up and you harvest it. Like May and June. So Passover is to remember the Exodus, and then Pentecost is kind of like a Thanksgiving. In the fall was Tabernacles. There's another week off. And again, they did a lot of walking, but like all of these, they have the first and the last day do nothing. So all of them are kind of rest from work, but not all of them are total rest. It's like the first day and the last day do nothing. But in between time, they did a lot of walking. New Year's, Rosh Hashanah was in there. That's another day off. Then there are a couple that we can't read in the Law of Moses, but they were true. Like in Esther's day, they added Purim. That was to remember that Mordecai and Esther, with God's planning, were born for such a time as this, and they kept the evil Haman from genocide against the Jews. So Purim. Hanukkah, that's now, it's not in the Old Testament, but Hanukkah was between Old Testament and New Testament. The evil Antiochus Epiphanes was trying to destroy Judaism. And he threatened to kill anybody that didn't stop Judaism, and he did slaughter a pig in the temple. He wanted everybody else to stop worshiping God that was Jewish. So the Maccabee family stood up against him, and all the dad was a priest, but the other guys were adult sons, and they all started to fight, and in the revolution, they threw them out. And because there was a pig in the temple was polluted, and they did services for 8 days to cleanse it, and they would light the menorah. They didn't have that much oil, but it lasted for 8 days. That's where Hanukkah comes from. And the temple was purified so that its services started again. And they felt it was clean from the pigs, and now we can start the Old Testament Judaism over again. Moses didn't do that, but Jesus went to it. In the New Testament, in John chapter 10 and verse 22, at that time was the Feast of Dedication. It was in winter. Jesus was walking in a temple in Solomon's porch. So Moses gave 3 times a year. He did not give a winter festival, but by the time of Jesus, it was 4 times a year. Basically 4 weeks off every year, in addition to like Purim and a few other days here and there. So one day off a week, first day off every month, 4 weeks off a year, lots of exercising, but to me the stress, the emphasis would be on every 7th year, don't do very much. Whoa. If you had 49 and 50, which would happen once in a while, now even on the 49th year, you'd have to do something, but take care of the animals, maybe fix the house, but no planting. Just live on what comes up. Rest, a lot more rest in the Bible than what we do. Hard work, but a lot more time off than what we do, and a lot more exercise than what we do. I quoted Psalm 127 at the banquet, but it kind of fits. Vain to rise up early and stay up late, he gives to his beloved even in their sleep, which is sort of literal rest, but also trying not to worry. Mark 6:31, Jesus gives an example. And he, Jesus, said to them, the apostles, cut apart and rest a while, for there were many people coming and going. They did not even have time to eat. So, number one, why did God give all these holidays? Well, rest, and some of it's biological rest, but some of it is just a change from the routine. Just a change from what we do all the weeks, and just do something else, And in the Bible holidays, they would rest as well as exercise. The second thing I want to stress is reunion. At all these Old Testament holidays, the people would all get together. And there is a family reunion and also a national reunion. We'll stress both, but everybody who could travel would go together. And it's not so much of part of the law of Moses, but let's look at Jesus' life in Luke chapter 2. We'll see a case of them family reuniting to go to a holiday. This is after the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus turned 12. Now, we communicate with relatives all the time. You either call them or you text them, depending on what generation they're from, but with the adult kids, it's always texting. 6 or 8 times a day, at least, texting back and forth. Frequent communication, but can you imagine those days? No phones, no mail. You'd have these cousins all over the place. Hardly ever hear about them. Maybe if you know ahead of time somebody's going to such and such a village, you could write a note and send a message, but not very much. And so they would reunite at the holidays. We see this in Jesus' life, and we've come to after the Christmas story today, and let's look at Luke 2, 39 and 40. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth, and the child, the Lord Jesus Christ, continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay, they left Bethlehem, went back to Nazareth, and now in the next passage, he's 12 years old. Nothing about the boy Jesus till he's 12. Verse 41. His parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it. And supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. I'll give the rest of the story, but that's the part I want to stress. They didn't even look for Jesus. Where is he? He's with his cousins. He's with the other relatives. We're all heading home, and he's back there a mile or two, so we don't need to worry about him. And, of course, he was in the temple at age 12, teaching all the theologians, and he already knew more than they did. And that's the emphasis. But my emphasis today is what were they doing on the holidays? Reunions. We don't need to look for Jesus. He's over there with his other family. Don't know what they were. That would be really fascinating. He's over there with his aunts and uncles. He's over there with his cousins. But that's the point I'm trying to make about why did God give holidays in the Old Testament? Rest, get away from the 7 days a week, the same old stuff over and over again, rest from it, and family reunions. So they would no doubt have feasts together on these holidays. In the temple, they would bring an animal for a burnt offering, and it all went to God and got burned up. And they would bring a different offering that some went to the priest. But they'd also bring, certain times, a thanksgiving offering. Basically, what that was the temple was a meat shop. Here's this animal, we'll come get it when you're done. And the blood would go to God, but the meat went back to the family. So 3 times a year at least, they'd go to Jerusalem, they'd see all their cousins, and have a big dinner. And God's purpose in all of this was rest from the humdrum. Don't want to do 7 days a week all the time. I'm thinking of a weird story. I knocked on doors around Battle Creek, and I would do counseling, just invite to church. This guy was terrible, terrible. What is your problem? He says, I make cornflakes 7 days a week. I never have a day off. I make cornflakes all the time. I can't stand it anymore. God doesn't want us dropping at work. He wants rest. And he wants us to try to, once in a while, have a family reunion. So they didn't worry about where he's at. They wanted to have a family reunion. The next is remembrance. And remembering the past would be in Deuteronomy 16. Can we turn there, please? So we have rest, reunion, and remembering the past. Again, Christmas is not in the Bible, but these are why God gave these other holidays. That's why there were so many of them in the Old Testament. Let's look at Deuteronomy 16, verse 3. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. That's like with a lamb, eat the lamb. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in a hurry, in haste, in order that you may remember all the days of your life, the day you came out of the land of Egypt. What was the purpose of the Old Testament holiday? Well, God wanted them to remember the Exodus. So unleavened bread means there's no time for the bread to rise, and you've got to get out in a hurry, and that's what the lesson of the holiday was, to remember God's actions and God's history. So the lamb referred to the lamb that was the sacrifice and the blood on the door, and the unleavened bread is we've got to go in a hurry, we've got to get out, there's no time for the bread to rise, and that was the purpose of the holiday. We won't take time to look at Exodus 13, but if you want to read Exodus 12 and 13 sometime, here are the exact verses, Exodus 12, 24 through 27, and Exodus 13, 6 through 10. They have remembrance. And here the young kid asks, what does all this stuff mean? And they were supposed to teach them, well, here's the lamb, and it refers to the sacrificial lamb and the blood on the door. Here's the unleavened bread, and it means we had to get out of Egypt in a hurry. And so the lesson, the reason God gave the holiday in the first place was remembrance. This was optional, true enough, but all these purposes so far can be done at a Christian holiday. We can have rest, and so far we haven't had much sleepy rest, but we can just say time out from the routine. I know in our house I rest more the day after Christmas. We can actually have biological rest, and we can have rest from the routine. We can have reunion. At least we do as much as possible, have everybody together. We have remembrance, and like the Passover remembered the Exodus, and the tabernacles remembered the huts they lived in the Exodus, and they did remember the star of God, the light of God, taking them out of the Exodus, and they had a great big menorah in the temple. That's what the point was, the light of God leading us in the Exodus. They remember the Exodus. We remember the history of God coming in the flesh with his plan to pay for our sins and die on the cross. And Easter is to remember death on the cross and the empty tomb. Not required that we could do the same things. We can have a rest from the routine. We can have reunion. We can have remembrance. Now, finally, we go back to basically our scripture reading out of our bulletin, but rejoicing. God approves of holidays for rejoicing. And I'm looking at the, I have my Bible open. You can look in here. But I have my Bible open. We were at Deuteronomy 13 for remembrance in verse 3. Now we do rejoicing. Verse 11, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your family, son, your daughter, told you there were girls in there too, son, daughter, your son, your daughter, your male and your female servants, and the Levite who is in your town, the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your midst in the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. And we're doing rejoicing. You see, verse 12 is remembrance again. Let's look at verse 15 to find another rejoicing. And the last phrase of verse 15, so that you shall be altogether joyful. Now, what's interesting about this is these are actually commands. Isn't that an odd command? You will be happy. Verse 11, you will rejoice. Verse 15, you shall celebrate. Kind of like it, I'm kind of this way. It's hard to take a day off. I don't feel normal until about 3 days later. It's hard to do it. You shall rejoice. We must think that after having trusted Jesus as Savior, and after a Christian confesses sins day by day, that the Christian living is supposed to be kind of glad and rejoicing. Do not agree that the Christian living is constant morbidity and inner soul searching. That's one thing if a person has never placed faith in Jesus as Savior. That person, and before we were saved, we better worry about our guilt a little bit. But after salvation, we are settled before God the judge. And then when we commit sins, we can confess them to God alone and be forgiven. After that, Christian living is not constant misery. I have talked with people and their view of Christian living is that it's constant misery, that you're not godly unless you hate yourself. You're not godly until you just crawl around all the time. We think of the Catholics in the Philippines where they have little whips. And you come to Easter and they whip each other until they bleed in the back. And okay, in Jesus' day were the Pharisees. The Pharisees made up all these rules. And their view of godly living was misery. Well, the Bible required one fast a year. In the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, confess sins and fast. One fast a year. The Pharisee in Luke 18 says, I fast twice a week. So there's one from Moses. The Pharisee made up 104. Sometimes Christians think like this, that Christian living is misery. Well, if we have unconfessed sin, we could feel a little guilt. But having trusted in Jesus as Savior, we're settled before God the judge. And having confessed the sin, we're settled before God the Father. And then the Bible stresses better feelings. Christian living is not constant misery. Christian living is confess the sin, and then we see these commands here. You shall rejoice. New Testament also, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. So I have up here Ecclesiastes 3, there's an appointed time for everything. There's a time to weep, unconfessed sin, maybe have a funeral, and a person has departed, and we don't feel good about it, maybe have a national crisis. I remember on 9/11, some people knocked on the door. Some of you people here, I remember who you are, but knocked on the door, wanted to come in and pray. Having a bad day on 9/11. Yeah, okay, a time to weep. But Ecclesiastes 3, a time to laugh. And the Pharisee wanted misery all the time, and that was not godly living. And it was Jesus teaching that this was not godly living. Bad days, but more often good days. You shall be altogether joyful, Deuteronomy 16:50. None of these are Christmas. That's not required. It is required to go to church. In the book of Hebrews, you know, we are required to assemble together, but it is kind of Western civilization and Christian civilization habit to have these optional holidays. And then we look at why did God give the holidays in the Old Testament? God's purposes were rest. Now, there was exercise with the rest, but mainly with rest. We're not saying sleeping all the time. We're saying time off the routine. Rest. Reunion with the distant relatives that we don't get to see all the time. Remembrance of God's actions in the past. The Exodus in the Old Testament holidays. Jesus' birth with Christmas and resurrection with Easter. And rejoicing. All would fit this coming time. All fit this season. We think God wants all these things from us. Will the choir please come?